As more information leaks out about the farce that is the US handling of suspected terrorists, and while David Hicks continues to languish while our servile and lickspittle government does nothing to assist an Australian son, it is timely that we return to the brutality that is atomic war. On August the 6th and 9th, we remember the death of innocents and the war crimes that were the dawn of the nuclear threat. The Sunday Age newspaper last week took up the story of 67-year-old Masaki Tanabe and how on August the 6th, 1945, his family were obliterated. The article describes the death of over 200,000 men, women and children like this. Housewives and children were incinerated instantly or paralysed in their daily routines like the victims of Pompeii, their internal organs boiled and their bones charred into brittle charcoal. Masaki Tanabe's mother and baby brother died in the firestorm that was unleashed by the cowardly US military. The Sunday Age article goes on to describe the exhibits in the Memorial Peace Park in Hiroshima. Along with a lunchbox containing the carbonated remains of someone's food, it contains photographs of a woman whose skin was branded with the pattern of her kimono. Not far from that photo is a glass case containing the steps of a bank upon which is a stain that was once a human being, forever burned into the concrete. These memorials to horror should be enough. Alas, I fear they hold no sway in the minds of those who currently hold the reins of power. The victims of the US aggression are, in their minds, devoid of humanity and therefore not worthy of their pathos. The men and women who claim to rule in our name have no time for the details that are real, live, breathing humans. To these rulers of the world, both elected and unelected, your value as a human being is measured by your proximity to being with us or with the enemy. For the babies of the enemy, it's quite okay to be born with massive deformity caused by the effects of radiation. It's okay for your father to be summarily executed because he looked suspicious. It's quite okay for the brothers and sisters of your enemy to be slaughtered in a firestorm simply because they resided in a city with some military value. Funny that, isn't it? How a city can be of military value while its citizens and the victims of our army's onslaught are often referred to as collateral damage. As a wise philosopher once said, the wheel eventually turns. The more we demonize the enemy without trying to understand them, the more like them we become. The Yellow Peril, as our northern neighbors were once referred to, has now invaded our hearts and souls. Wasn't it they that butchered babies and raped their mothers? Wasn't it they who carried out unspeakable acts against our boys? Wasn't it they who murdered whole cities and villages in the name of their devil gods? Wasn't it they who spoke unspeakable tongues and carried out wicked rituals before enacting death? The wheel has turned full circle. Now it's us who allow others to butcher babies and kill their mothers. Now it's we who allow others, in our name, to authorize the unspeakable acts carried out on others' boys. It's now we who allow others to destroy whole cities and villages in the name of our gods. Is it not us who now whisper in unspeakable tongues of the otherness of them? The terror and murder that was Hiroshima and Nagasaki cannot be forgotten. The story of Masaki Tanabe cannot be allowed to fade from our memory or the memory of our children. The horror of war is as foreign to me personally as is the ideology of those who would allow, in my name, the killing of innocent men, women and children half a world away. Here at home, we are now each other's enemies. We are being encouraged to use our personal technology to spy on each other. We are being encouraged to use our video and photo phones to send pictures of suspicious activities to the police. We are encouraged to spy on our neighbours and report any activity we think might be linked to supposed terrorist activities. We are encouraged to dob on our mates as much as strangers. Surely our forebears didn't die in two world wars to see this behaviour of our enemies become our own. And while we are turning one on the other, no one is watching those who lord it over us. In the early 1940s, As Robert Oppenheimer worked on harnessing nuclear energy, he knew full well that the power of the beast he was awakening could be used to destroy human life. He was fully aware that the war effort was the sole reason he had the limitless budget he did. He also knew that one day he and his peers would have to answer for their acts. Hiroshima and Nagasaki became their legacy, one which Oppenheimer and others dreaded. As we remember the atrocities of 60 years ago, caused by the first use of weapons of mass destruction, it is timely to remember those who continue to die in the unending war being waged against imaginary enemies. Seku Shimohira was, like the 7-year-old Masaki Tanabe, another of our enemies in 1945. She was a girl of 10 when the bomb exploded above her home. When she awoke after the blast, she recalled seeing bodies in the bomb shelter with the eyes hanging out of their heads. She saw the bodies of living people ripped open and their guts spilling onto the floor. She heard voices crying, "Kill me! Kill me!" And then she found her sister's and her mother's body. She recognized her sister after pulling away the charred hand that covered her sister's dead eyes. She knew she had found her mother, only because of the gold fillings in the charred skull. Are these the legacies we wish to leave our children? Are these the images we want any young child to see? We have continuous arguments about the dangers inherent in allowing young people to watch violent television, but there is no public outcry over the children who are on the other side of the camera lens as we voyeuristically watch the footage on the evening news of the latest slaughter in Iraq or Afghanistan or Niger or Sudan or Burma. Are the images of the injustice that is meted out to the David Hicks and Charles Menezes of the world justifiable? I suggest that anyone who answers yes is potentially the enemy of freedom, not a purveyor of hope. Are those who would deny the atrocity that was Hiroshima and Nagasaki to be trusted with ushering in a new world order? I don't think so, for the only order they know is chaos and terror. The time has arrived when right-thinking people need to walk the extra mile. While a well-used cliché, it is apt. A choice confronts us. We can revel in the wonders of modern warfare, or we can begin to march to dismantle the machine. We cannot do both. No doubt, some politicians will offer platitudes about the horror of war and the terrible memories some might carry as we remember the events of 60 years ago. However, until they, forced by us, choose to tear down the altars of destruction upon which they worship, we must keep the memory of what really happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki alive. I'm Shane Elson. This is the Public First Program.